Well, good morning. It is good to be with family today, and I thank some folks who are here for the first time. Thanks for coming on the least attended Sunday of the year and kind of pack them in here a little bit. But can I tell you again how much I appreciate you all? Okay. We are the people that God has given to us to share life and encourage one another. Encouraging one another to lean heavy and to trust on our Savior, Jesus Christ, through all of life. If you're checking this place out for the first time, please know Excelsior is a bunch of imperfect people, for sure, but living into this amazing hope that we have because of God's incredible love for all those He created. You don't have to have your act together to belong in this family. You don't even have to have belief figured out to belong in this family. It's a place we celebrate life and where we try to live the way Jesus teaches us. For all of our foibles, mine included, I love this family, and I am so grateful that you are in my life. Little backstory. Many of you know about this. It's been a bit of a crazy year for our family, for Bonnie and me, and the rest of us. In April, I had abdominal surgery, which went well, and I'm healing just fine. But the day I got out of the hospital, my dad fell, or didn't fall, he just broke his hip, kind of spontaneously. He was in memory care. And a week later, Bonnie and I held his hands as he passed away. Which was an incredible experience to feel God's presence and comfort right in that moment and since then. But of course, very hard to lose my dad. And then all last spring, we were planning, helping and working with our daughter and son-in-law to plan their wedding, which was in June up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And that was a wonderful and stressful time, which you may know what that's like. But now Johanna and Dustin are happily married, and that's so great to talk to them on the phone and hear that. So after the wedding, we thought life might chill a bit, start to chill anyway, and on Thursday I was having lunch with a good friend here from church, Adam Burke, and I got a call from my wife Bonnie, who was at the nursing home, telling me that my mom, Gunny Sparman, had also just died. Totally unexpected, peaceful, which is a gift. She just simply passed away. Some even commented this morning, it might have been of a broken heart, and I wouldn't be surprised. For as much as my heart grieves the loss of both of my parents in just these last 5 months, kind of dazed, actually, to be honest, Thursday felt like deja vu. Through all of that, Bonnie and I have held one another. We've cried thankful tears for the hope that we have in Christ. We live in the resurrection hope that Jesus gives us. That's what it's about. I know where my parents are, and while I'm not rushing to get there, I can't wait for those reunions in heaven. I really can't. When any of us experience death, and the death particularly of someone we love dearly, unless we are totally numb to life, it's going to impact us. It's going to make us think about what is really important about life and about faith. I think even about basic existence. Why are we here? What's the meaning of all this? And if you're struggling with that kind of stuff, you are not alone. We've got one another, and we have a God who is in it with us. In fact, He's incredibly relational about it. We don't do this journey alone, unless we choose to. That said, if you or someone you know is dealing with these big questions of life and faith, I really encourage you to check out the Alpha course that we've got starting up again on September 18th. We meet at Jake O'Connor's Pub down in the lower level, 10 weeks long. It's a wonderful experience. We're going to hear more about that. There's a flyer in your bulletin to announce that. It's low-key, totally unpressurized, great place to talk and to raise our own questions with people who are honestly looking for answers themselves. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Now, for me, which is probably good for you to know as your about your pastor, I have a lot of questions of my own for God. I certainly do, and I can't wait to ask him some of those. But I know with all my heart, knowing I can't do this alone, that Jesus is there. The incarnate Son of God has given his life for you and for me so that we might have life, we might have hope. And when I go through hard times, my heart tends to, not perfect here, but it tends to lean heavy into this faith that God is working in my life. Not that I don't have doubts, of course I do, like all of us do. But I've also experienced, the overwhelming hope and comfort from the Holy Spirit. It's very real. And this isn't just some mental trickery that Christians delude themselves with. This is the real thing. But if you haven't ever experienced it for yourself, I don't expect you to understand it. It's something we experience for ourselves. And over the years, as a pastor and just a guy in the community, I've known a lot of people who are suffering through life without hope. And that is a desperate place to be. The hope we talk about is real. Hope that is a promise. That's what this is about. And then there are words in Scripture that remind us of what it means to stay close to God. And those are great words. To set our minds and our hearts not on the hopelessness of the world that sees a dead end in death, but rather, like the Apostle Paul says, to set our hearts and our minds on things above. To set our hearts and minds on things above. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app, or you can pull one out of the pew rack and want to open to Paul's letter to the Colossians, the Colossian church, third chapter we're going to look at. There are a few verses here, a couple of verses here, 23 and 24 actually, that I picked a while back for Labor Day weekend. I thought this would be appropriate because they talk about how we approach our labor, what we do, so I thought that would be appropriate for the weekend. But then when I sat with this text after my mom died, the whole chapter grabbed my heart, actually. And I said, we need to look at this whole thing. There's talk in there about a work ethic, for sure, that honors God. But more than that, Paul, in Colossians and here in chapter 3, he kind of takes us and shakes us. And he says, I want you to realize what's at stake here, what faith in Christ is really leading to and what it's about. This is about life and death. It's about the meaning of life and what it means to be the church, a church that focuses not on what's important to us, but on God and on the greater good. What's good for others. Listen with me here. I'm going to read this aloud. I'm not putting it on the screen, but listen to how Paul encourages us to quit looking down and start looking up, okay? We'll start here at verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Did you hear that encouragement in verse 17? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We've got to understand here. Paul did not have ulterior motives. He wasn't some crazy religious cult leader who was trying to mislead and control people. He had their absolute best at heart, like any good church leader does. And that comes through, I think, this text super clear. Now, the next five verses put what he says into practical context for his generation that he was living in, which actually upsets a lot of people in our generation who don't know where he was coming from, because Paul then goes on to talk about gender submission and even about slavery without saying that it's wrong. And that kind of rubs a lot of people the wrong way, or we get confused about that. I'm going to ask you to trust on this one. That discussion of the next five verses is important, but it takes a lot more unpacking than we have time for today. And please understand, though, in his day, what Paul said moved the needle dramatically toward valuing all people, which was kind of amazing. Male, female, slave, free. And in the first century, this was radical. Way more radical than we would understand. If you struggle with Paul's writings, and a lot of people struggle with part of this text here, please give him the benefit of the doubt and do some good, honest study before you pronounce judgment on him, which I wouldn't recommend you do anyway. And whatever you do, whatever we do, let's not lose the incredible connection that he helps make for us to what it means to live in submission, living in submission to a loving God. Because that's really the overarching message here. Living in submission to a loving God, the one who created us. Coming off the death of my mom, I feel even deeper passion for us to grab onto this. That life is short and eternity is long. And the sooner we embrace God's amazing grace and give ourselves fully over to Him, the sooner we will experience the joy of our salvation and real peace in life. At the same time, when we submit our hearts and our beings to God, we're also going to feel a compulsion. We're going to feel compelled to make a difference in the world, in whatever we do, to advance God's hope for all people, those who are lost and hurting and discriminated against in this world. Skip down to verses 23 and 24. Paul picks up this idea from 17 all over again. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Get this part. Whatever we do, not just our little God projects, but all of our labors, we need to see in that context. Okay, labor, right? Wikipedia tells us that tomorrow is a holiday that honors the American labor movement and the contributions that workers have made to the strength, prosperity, laws, and well-being of our country, which is a great thing to honor, and we should do that, except for the part that Labor Day is also the unofficial end of summer. We can just forget that one, okay? But if we're going to be people who live into the salvation and life experience of Jesus, then the thought of labor, all of the whatevers that we do, means we're going to be doing the kind of things that Jesus did. Did you catch that? We're going to be doing the kind of things that Jesus did. That'll be our priority. We're not talking about just throwing money at benevolent causes, which is the affluent suburban way of doing things. And we're not just waiting for others to take up the cause on our behalf to care for the hurting and the rejected, for the refugees and the homeless. That's not somebody else's job. That's ours. And even in the dailiness of our life, the whatevers we do means we are in the game with Jesus, not just observing. Our church's purpose statement even really catches this, and this is important to us. It says we're going to be active as we covenant to equip loving, giving, growing Christians to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ, evangelizing the lost, ministering to those in need, and seeking justice for the oppressed. That's our purpose. That's part of our purpose statement. This is what our family does. This is part of what you did for me and have done for me in this season of my own life. It's why we're the church. Loving, giving, growing followers of Jesus who are busy, who are in the game throughout all stages of our life. Let me jump back to verse 17 again where he says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To do it all in the name of Jesus means to do it like he does it, representative of him. It's not about trying to be good Christians, which is incredibly lame, but it's about being faithful to Jesus. It's about being submitting the totality of our lives to the one who made us and the one who died on the cross to save us and to give us life. It's the difference between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. You've heard that before. Are we fans or are we followers? It's the latter one that matters. You know, my mom wasn't perfect. Ask any teenage kid, they'll tell you their mom's not perfect. Their dads are okay, but you know. No. My mom wasn't perfect, but she loved Jesus, and that came through so clear in my life. She really tried to serve him faithfully in whatever she did. And when she knew I was watching and she didn't do it, she apologized to me, as to God too. And now with her passing, the urgency of God's call is right that back in my face again, and I hope it's in your face too. Because this is a time for us to be busy through all of life, at home and abroad, loving and serving and bringing hope to a broken world. Whether that's getting involved here at church with activity or with Alpha or Pine Ridge or whatever it is, out in the community or wherever. That's what followers do.
We don't just attend church. We are church. We do church. We live it because it's Jesus' way. We don't snipe from the sidelines. We get involved. And you know, I imagine on Thursday afternoon, when Mom slipped out of this world, she opened her eyes to see Jesus. And I think she heard him say, "Welcome, Gunny. Welcome home." And then the echo of the words that he said in a parable long ago in the New Living Translation, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together." I think that's what she heard. And that's what he wants to tell you and me too. So can we pray? God, we thank you for life. We thank you for the hope that we have in death. And we thank you for everything in between. And just pray that somehow our hearts, our spirits would be open to your Holy Spirit doing your work in us, convincing us of what is true, convincing us of what is real, and in fact, convincing us of what is urgent, that you have an urgent cause in this world that you call us to be a part of. And it's not just being a part of church. It's about making a difference in the community, working for peace and justice and righteousness, and also sharing the good news of salvation that is for all of eternity, that is available through your searching, reaching love. And God, in humility, even those that have been walking with you for a long time, we just say, God, thank you. Keep reminding us. Take us back home to that place of understanding of what is real and true, that our lives can be an offering to you in totality. Oh, God, we love you so much. And we pray in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.